How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good. Yesterday, I went over to the Supreme Court. Second time I've ever sat in on an argument before the Supreme Court. It's quite a moment. I mean, there are 250 people who can physically sit inside the room, and so I haven't really tried to overdo it. But yesterday was a big case. It was on the immigration orders by President Obama. And whether or not they can continue. And it was very controversial, huge gathering outside, lots and lots of people from Illinois, a lot of folks from representing different religious groups. It was a real strong feeling that this case is going to impact a lot of lives.
So when you sit there and you listen to the line of questioning that the judges have, do you get a feel for which way they're leaning? Because right now, everything can end in a tie.
Well, of course, it's 4-4, and you look up there and you think, what would a tie mean? A tie would mean chaos. You know, the fact that the Senate Republicans refuse to even have a hearing on the president's nominee leaves us in a position where this critical case could come down in a tie, and we would have the law being applied differently depending on where you lived in America. It just is not the way to run a country, and it's the first time in history that the Senate has refused to consider a nominee to the Supreme Court from a president of either political party. So that part was obvious. The second thing is, I sit there as a lawyer and think, thank goodness I'm not standing up there taking those questions.
Yeah.
They're tough. They're thoughtful. I mean, these are smart people asking hard questions, as they should, of the lawyers on both sides. And it is, your first question is, do I know how it's going to come out? I can pick 4 out of the 8 that are likely to stand with the president. The 5th, big question mark. And I just don't know whether there'll be a 5th. If not, a tie and the confusion that follows.
Yeah, I read something this morning. It was reporters are saying with the line of questioning, they had a feeling that it's going to end up in a tie. The swing vote would be Kennedy, and they say he seems to be siding with the conservatives.
The opponents. But Roberts, the Chief Justice, it asked some real important questions as to whether or not Texas or the other governors could bring the lawsuit. And it's a legitimate question. Their argument is, if you give people a temporary legal status to work in the United States and not be deported, Texas says, under our law, they can apply for a driver's license. We don't make money issuing driver's licenses. We lose money. So this decision by the court to say that, in their case, thousands could, if they wished, apply for a Texas driver's license would cost the state of Texas money. The question I kept thinking about was, but on a net basis, if these same people are working in Texas, paying their taxes as they should in Texas, Texas is going to receive money into their treasury from their state income taxes. So the net value to Texas is positive. That wasn't raised. I was wondering why it wasn't raised. That was an issue that I thought about.
Did you stand up and just yell object and then
say, excuse me here, if you all thought about this.
Throw your 2 cents in. I will
they
say this.
Kind of move you out quickly.
If you ever get a chance to go to Washington, D.C., that is very reverent, walking into the Supreme Court building. I mean, it is. It's a thrill. And I'm not a geek, but it's just really something to behold. You stand there and you look at it and go, my goodness. And you were there for a hearing yesterday.
I was for the 90 minutes, and I get there early. Lots of people do, and they roam around the audience while you're sitting there waiting, saying, silence in the court, silence in the court. So, I mean, it's a reminder that this is serious business. Lives will be affected, and this group of 8, should be 9, make some critical decisions about the future of America.
All right, I don't know if you realize it, but we're in a presidential campaign right now.
This year?
Yeah, it's going to go on. November's general election is about 2,000, it's 200 and some odd days away. And one of the things, especially the Republicans and Donald Trump in particular, he's going to bring jobs back to America. And I know you kind of went off on Abbott Laboratories a couple of weeks ago over layoffs and some of their jobs going overseas. What can the government really do to keep jobs in America?
we need the best workforce in the world. And we have an extraordinary workforce, but the demands continue. There isn't a community college you can go to anywhere in our state that they aren't teaching basic skills for people who won't end up with a college degree but need a new talent, a new skill. Welding. Everywhere I go, welding. You go up to Kankakee, the community college there, a special course in creating and installing solar panels. I said to the professor that ran the course, I said, so what's your graduation rate? Said, not a fair question. I said, what do you mean? That's a basic question. He says, when my good students are discovered by these companies, they hire them right out of the classroom. Don't let them finish. We're ready to take them. So the real word out there to folks listening, thinking about a son or a daughter or themselves, is get out to that community college, that affordable alternative. Find out the skills that they're teaching that lead to good-paying jobs. So that's number one, the skilled workforce. And second, we need to continue to invest in research in this country, whether it's biomedical research to, God willing, finding a cure for Alzheimer's, diabetes, cancer, all of these things. We've got to invest in research. It leads to breakthroughs in medical research, and it leads to good companies, good-paying jobs. So education, training, research. Third one, infrastructure. We know that downstate better than most. Whether we're talking about Amtrak or the highways or the access on the rivers for our friends in agriculture, we're not investing enough in America. I just went over to China, spent a week there. I'll tell you this, the air pollution is awful, just awful. But they are building in every direction, and they understand that if you're going to lead in this century, you've got to invest in infrastructure, and that means good-paying jobs, incidentally, while we're doing it.
Well, let's shift gears here to the state of Illinois. You're back all the time. You know what's happening down in Springfield, and the president was here, spoke a month or so ago. And I probably asked you already, but I just want to ask you again. It's got to be frustrating. It's certainly frustrating for us, frustrating for you to see that nothing is getting done. Here we are going on to our, eighth month without a budget. And the two sides, they had a meeting that lasted less than an hour last week to deal with
this. This is a disaster. This is a disaster. I think back to the time when we had a succession of governors of both political parties getting in trouble and going to jail. It was embarrassing. It was a real embarrassment to all of us to think that this would happen at the highest levels in our state. What is going on now is equally embarrassing, if not worse. Why in the world we cannot sit down and face the reality of what it takes to solve these problems? And I look at the principals who are involved in this. I'm sick and tired of people saying, I'm going to stand my ground until I get my way. For goodness sakes, that isn't the way life works. It isn't the way governance works. We've got to reach a point where we're respectful of one another and sit down in a room and say, we're not leaving until we get this done. And we may come out here with some bad news for folks, but we've got to have an honest approach to this. Right now, when I think of the folks that are suffering, think about this for a second. They cut MAP grants. What are MAP grants? Well, it's amount of money that is given to a student from a low-income family to go to college. When you eliminate that money, a lot of students back up and say, I can't do it. Can't afford it. I'm going to go work for a while. And we've got schools across our state that are threatened in terms of whether they can keep their doors open. Then I have the superintendent of education come see me here in Washington 2 weeks ago. He said, well, incidentally, 800 school districts in our state cannot now afford for their kids, their juniors, to take the SAT. They don't have the money because of this budget mess in Springfield. So what's going to happen to these young people? If they can't come up with the money to take these tests, their future is really in jeopardy. This has gone way beyond any question about whether we should fight unions or do this or do that. For goodness sakes, these folks in Springfield have to accept their responsibility and come up with an answer.
Have you had a chance to say just that to Michael Madigan by any chance?
I've said it to both sides. I've said it to both sides. I feel strongly that, you know, the governor didn't create this mess. He didn't create our pension crisis. But he ran saying he was going to fix it. We're in worse shape now than we were then.
But his hands are kind of tied when you've got the, he mentions the supermajority isn't playing ball with him.
That's true. Both sides have to sit down. But, you know, this, I'm going to get it my way or no way, isn't working.
Hey, since last time we spoke, a group from Bloomington Normal, McLean County, out in Washington, D.C., our One Voice group, you had a chance to chat with them. How often is that commonplace for a group from a community such as McLean County, Bloomington Normal, to go to Washington, D.C. and sit down and have a chance to talk with people like you and Senator Kirk and others?
No, it's really unusual, and my hat's off to the leaders, business, labor, community leaders, elected officials. Quad Cities do it. Bloomington Normal does it. Champaign will come around. But the ones that do get the most done here in Washington. We don't get our fair share of federal funds. Taxpayers in Illinois send a lot more money to Washington than comes back. And part of the reason is, you know, we don't aggressively go after the dollars. But when groups come out, like the group in McLean County, and they have an agenda, and they have specific asks, and they do the follow-through, good things can happen. So I'm glad they're here. And you got a great group. You take a look downtown at Normal, and the Amtrak station, and what's happening down there. Pretty exciting stuff, as far as I'm concerned. And it happened because Chris Coos and a lot of community leaders in both political parties stepped up and said, we're going to make it happen. So now we're looking for the next round of opportunities that create local jobs and build the local economy. And I'm glad that we're here.
All right. Well, with that, we'll let you go. And appreciate you always coming on the air with us and spending some time. And we'll do it again next month.
All right. Looking forward to it.